You're listening to Bollywood Weekly. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. I feel like the podcast needs a name change because it's not weekly anymore. And I am here with Sagar Hiren Desai back after a long time, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
Sagar has come prepared with pages of notes.
No.
Which...
pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, is, this is nuts.
And we have a podcast debut, Tarini. Welcome to the podcast.
Woo!
Not as well prepared as Sagar.
Yeah, Tarini has now become very intimidated.
It comes with experience.
As soon as we started recording, Sagar whipped out his notes. Anyway, Sagar.
Thank you for having me back.
After the last podcast you did with us, listeners have only one question for you, which is, how is the Josh?
Hi, sir!
Okay, anyway.
You allowed him back.
No, you missed. The last time Sagar was here, he basically was trying very hard to give my podcast publicity by just dissing all kinds of various influential people and imitating their fans. specifically, certain Mr. Khan. So that's why we put you on ice for a few months. But anyway, now
got it.
New cycles have moved on.
I didn't know.
Dabang 3 is still 2 months away from releasing, so it's safe to have you back for now. Okay, anyway, today we're talking about The Sky is Pink, Priyanka Chopra, Farhan Akhtar. Let's just get right into it since we are on a limited time schedule because I'm catching a flight in 2 hours. What do you guys think?
Can I first open up and say that I don't understand, or I didn't understand, why the movie was named The Sky is Pink, even though obviously we know the backstory to The Sky is Pink in the movie.
Yeah.
But there was very little connection between the title and the actual story.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to open up with that.
I think it had to do with the fact that they want to talk about, like, you decide your destiny and you decide how, like, much you want to live your life and, like, you know.
Yeah.
Even though she knew she was going to die,
yeah,
she did everything she could. And of course, that incident of the drawing is like one little thing. Mm. But what that translates to in a more... and that's when even Priyanka Chopra kind of realized it. And she was like, no, you don't listen to anyone. You do whatever you want. And that was when she was with Aisha, getting her treated and all of that. So that's what I understood from it.
No, you're right. And I think that's the best kind of interpretation of that. But I just felt weird that it came from... from the brother's brother's background, as opposed to something related to her story. Because while he was, you know, in school and drawing and all of that, it should have ideally come from some... they should have taken something from her life as opposed to his life.
What they don't mention in the movie, from what actually happened, is that she also used to give motivational speeches. And that was also a part of, like, look, you can be whatever you want to be. And, like, she knew she was a terminal case. But she was... she gave
a
TED
talk
and stuff.
They hinted at it.
Yeah.
Like they have that,
and they,
like,
showed it in the end. But they didn't kind of bring
it
up. They mentioned it when... that Karan said, oh, don't you think she could be a great motivation speaker?
And
but they didn't
show
her acting on it. So if you didn't see the thing at the end, you wouldn't realize that she actually went through with it.
But that aside, I thought the movie was really good. I mean, I was... like, the reviews and stuff have been very mixed and slightly negative. And I was, like, very surprised. As in, so, after watching the movie, I was very surprised by that because I thought it was, like, really well done.
But what were some of the things people were critical of?
So, I think obviously, box office is, like, it hasn't worked. That was, like, expected, right? Because it's not the kind of, like, massy movie that's going to do big numbers. It was more, and I think, also targeted towards... multiplex / NRI audiences.
Yeah.
But, like, the review said that it's... I mean, I'm, like, summarizing heavily, but the general gist was that it's kind of a little too long. It's a bit... that it's overly sad or, like, depressing. And that it just, like, it didn't, like, really connect. And I just felt the exact opposite way in all aspects. Like, I didn't think it... I think the length was, like, perfect. It was 2 hours, 10 minutes, which I think is very normal for a movie. One thing that I really liked is that it was actually, despite tackling such a like heavy topic, there were actually lots of like lighthearted moments and fun moments in it, right? Yeah. And yeah, I definitely think it connected. Like, I think half the like movie hall was crying for half the movie with like tissues and stuff. So, I mean, I can understand that box office, it doesn't work, but I was surprised that critics were also like very negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And more than making you laugh, I think, I mean, they did a really good job of that by kind of putting that in the right moments and right places. But the fact is that it's a true story.
Yeah, exactly.
How can anyone call that too and, depressing or too sad?
Yeah, and I think, Sagar, you made the point. I also, because it's also not just the story of her, it's the story of the family, right?
Yeah, how exactly. How they dealt with it.
And I, like, when you look back on it, I found it quite uplifting because, as you said yesterday, right after we walked out of the movie, it's amazing that they were, you know, that Niren, like, the father, is able to maintain successful career, come from, like, you know, very humble beginnings. Go through all of this. All kinds of adversity, right, throughout the way. And
speaking of humble beginnings, I think one theme that they didn't emphasize too much on, especially because the movie was also a little bit about the romantic story between Priyanka Chopra and Farhan Akhtar. The one thing I think they missed out on is emphasizing on how difficult it would have been for Priyanka Chopra to have gone to a North Delhi family, coming from a rich South, assumably a rich South Delhi family. And I think if they had spent some time playing that theme out, I think that would have been
which made me wonder how much of that is was set up for the movie and how much of that is true. I don't know if that's 100% true. But yeah, they kind of mentioned it, but didn't really go into that topic.
Because for a South Delhi girl, especially in the Indian context, and it was a very bold move of her, if the story is true, to have moved into a North Delhi, not even a proper house, right? As in just like an old...
And they actually showed the families getting along fairly well.
I don't know how that happened.
All coming together when the kids were born and everything. Like,
I don't know how that seamlessly happened. But if they had spent some time playing that out, I think that could have been interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I was okay with the way they did it because, I mean, I think it's just an added layer, right? I don't think it's central.
Yeah.
Oh, no, for sure.
It would have taken away from that.
And I think, it was... Surprisingly, also, one of the things that people were critical of is Farhan Akhtar and Priyanka's performances because they felt too polished. Farhan, I can kind of see that because I think he did a good job, but, like, he's clearly not the right fit for the character. Like, he's not, you know, like, not Delhi guy. And there's that one scene where he's, you know, trying to make, like, cheap comments to her, like, on the phone. It feels weird, like, Farhan Akhtar saying this because, like, he's not someone you would associate with that.
Yeah.
But I thought, like, for Priyanka Chopra, because I think, from what I understand at least, the character is like that. When she was younger, she would do modeling and stuff, and she was one of, you know, those glam type of people in those circles. And so I thought Priyanka Chopra is a...
Like in real life.
In real life,
yeah. Yeah, she was Miss India or something, right?
Oh, was she? I don't know.
Yeah, she was.
So I think Priyanka Chopra makes perfect sense and I think she played that character very well.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they were like, oh, as a grieving mother, she didn't seem like she was actually grieving. And I was like, I think there's just perception that if you're... You have to be a certain way or behave a certain way if you're going through something, you know, I think... And which I think defeats the whole point of the movie. The point of the movie is to like make the most of what you have, right? And fight through whatever. So,
can we shift gears and talk about the main character, which is Ayesha Chaudhary? During the, as in obviously she did a good job, but at some points in time, I thought that it was like she was trying too hard to be funny or trying too hard to say things like moose and giraffe and panda. I just found it irritating after a point.
That seemed to be, the whole moose panda thing seemed a bit unnatural for me. And I don't know if it was for storytelling purposes. But like, I mean, you've never come across someone who would call their entire family by animal names.
Absolutely,
like, And the way she would, like, it's also nice that, like, the equation was so sort of equal, but the way she would talk to them sometimes was just like she was talking to a friend or something.
Yeah.
Which in a way is nice, but, like, I don't think that happens all the time.
I mean, I don't know.
In fact, especially in the Indian context, right? As in if you...
No, I mean,
Indian family, typically...
If you look at I would equate them to, like, you know, my family or, like, I would relate to it like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like our equations with our parents are different from other families. Like, not to say other families, but, like, our equations with our parents are similar in many ways, but it was almost like, they were, like, animal characters that she kept referring to.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, but I think it was okay because, I mean, I think each family is, the thing is, I don't know if it's like reality, right?
Yeah.
Like it may very well be for storytelling purposes, but I think.
But that, it is a movie and like, you have that much creative.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought it was, I don't know, but like I'm speculating. It was probably also a deliberate call to maintain a certain lighthearted, like positive vibe throughout, even at the end. I guess this is spoiler alert, but it's a true story. So, like, you know what happened. Even at the end, obviously, she's passed away and, like, everything. But the movie still tries to end on, like, an upbeat note, right? With all the...
Of course,
With all the like, texts and this
memories.
Thing,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I thought, I don't know. I it worked for me, at least. I thought it was a very nice and, like, good way to tackle a heavy topic without making it super heavy.
Hmm.
Despite it being sad, like, I came out of the movie feeling good. So, and I
even
think
the video that she records is in whatever weird way a little bit uplifting. Like,
yeah, exactly. And that's the thing which I, and obviously now this is where we don't know how much is like movie versus factual, but like just from a movie storytelling perspective, like I thought it was really nice because you have this video which is like very positive and uplifting, but it's obviously heartbreaking as well because she's not there anymore.
Mm.
And I liked the way they juxtaposed her recording this video being very cheerful and then just everyone's reaction in the, both in the crowd in the movie and the actual crowd.
Yeah. And to your point about a spoiler alert, she says in the first 5 minutes of the movie, I'm dead, mera the end ho gaya hai.
Okay, I didn't see that.
So she actually says right in the beginning when she's, when they're doing the voiceover,
by
the way, I'm dead, but this is my story. And what I want to make sure is you don't think of me as some ghost. Like,
Which makes sense. So, but I don't know. In the overall, I think also, I mean, I think this movie has been like, this year has been like a lot of like good movies, but I don't think there's been like an outstanding movie. But to me, I feel like this is one of the best movies I've watched this year for sure.
Seriously?
It's also a very hard to compare this movie to other movies, but like this year, Uri is, I guess, one.
Yeah.
Article 15, I haven't seen, but
I really want to watch that.
We can do that next week since it's on Netflix. Do a catch-up.
Chachore was great.
Chachore also,
I was outstanding. But again, I heard very mixed things about
it. Seriously, Chachore, I thought, received positive reviews through and through.
It did very well.
Yeah,
so,
it did
I
very
mean,
well.
Yeah, these are basically the big movies, right? Like, Gully Boy is the other one.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think this is obviously like each of these movies is very different from each other, but I think in terms of this is up there in terms of overall.
For sure.
Quality.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
as in the director is very well known for these kinds of movies also, right? As in the last she did was Margarita with a Straw, which is which again
this
was
Sagar's
very...
notes
exactly,
coming
right.
into play.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah, looking at each other like, we're like, yeah, that sounds about right. We have no idea. But okay.
Gee, guys, you shouldn't be participating. Shvish, I should be taking over from you.
I'm very happy to do that. You might actually get an episode every week and you do that.
Some mad homework.
So, as in, she explores alternative themes all the time.
Yeah, it's definitely
so.
Different.
Yeah, it's very different from the time.
And, I mean, I didn't go back and research this. Sagar, you probably did. But if I'm not wrong, I think if I read the credits right,
She also lost
her son.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
That's
right.
So,
that's what the credits... I won't actually read up for that, but I saw that in the credits.
Yeah. I think it... Yeah, a lot of... I feel like it...
Her inspiration.
A lot of things would have also come from her experiences and her... thing, right?
Now that we've spoken about Asha, I think I also wanted to spend some time speaking about
the brother,
which was Rohit Saraf.
He was very cute.
He was cute, but I just didn't think he did any justice to the role.
No, that
as a brother, there is so much more you go through. But he seemed very... he seemed like an amateur actor to me, at least.
He probably is.
And he probably is.
I mean,
I wish he had done a little more justice to the role of a brother and the kind of support that is required of a brother, and that is almost demanded of a brother in the Indian context, when someone is going through that phase.
I don't know.
Especially because they were so close. Yeah. If there was a distant, as in if they were distant, then I would understand probably he wants to maintain that distance, but it just felt unnatural to me.
I don't know. I personally disagree because I think the whole point was that he is like her source of strength, right? So he has to
keep it
maintain a positive mindset and a positive this thing, right? To help her also keep that. And I agreed. Yeah, he clearly came across as like a very raw actor.
Correct.
But I think that's okay because to me it added to the realism of the movie. Like it's not, this is a real story, right? Like, so I'm okay with the fact that it's not very polished or very, which is why I think of the four, I probably thought like Farhan was the weakest link, but I don't think it's through any fault of his. I think he did the best that he could.
Yeah.
It's just that the role is what it is. Him as a person versus what the role is. There's only so much he can do. But to me, it worked. And I liked the fact that there's one scene towards the end as her health is deteriorating where he breaks down, right? And he's like,
says,
I know I come across as this like strong, silent thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. I felt very authentic to me because I think also people deal with grief and deal with situations in different ways.
Yeah.
So to me, it kind of worked. I thought he was actually... he was a good source of like comic relief at like various times, like especially the whole like when Priyanka Chopra is trying to set up Zaira Wasim
and,
with this,
and
he's like caught in the middle and he's like, what is wrong with you, like why are you making me do this?
I love the scene when he falls down into the pool.
Oh my god,
that is really funny.
The other theme that I liked that they touched upon, which at least I found kind of relatable, is how in today's world, like, you always have so many choices that you can make, and sometimes it goes again, let's say, between making a choice for yourself, like, he chose to still go abroad and study even though his sister was sick, or like, you know, every time Farhan Akhtar had to decide about relocating, but still how the family kind of stayed together and dealt with those things, being in different places, because I think that applies to like a lot of contexts now, that you just have more flexibility and all of that.
Yeah.
And it showed how they kind of came out of it. Even though they struggled through it at times, they came out of it.
All right. Sagar, what's next on your notes?
What topics have we not explored yet?
What the hell happened to Priyanka in between, where she went through that mental instability state?
That one was very... I felt like that
But they actually gave like scientific backing as to why that happens.
No, of course. But it was...
So the one thing that I felt that they didn't do, I think, on this point, is that it came like very suddenly and then it was gone.
When
like,
it was suddenly addressed. Exactly. Right? There was no like, exploration of that.
Yeah. I felt like that was a bit... weird, like if you're going to bring it up, then explore it. Otherwise, I think they could have done without it. I think they say at the end that she's actually a
mental health worker
in real life, right? So, I don't know if that is like motivated by this incident and what happened, or if it is just, that's just what she does. But I felt like they didn't actually explore that enough in terms of like Priyanka. They always just show her as being, you know, just being at home and handling everything, right?
Yeah.
And it would have been nice to also show that, you know, Farhan isn't the only one who's going out and being successful. Like, she has also been able to do that. And yeah, I felt like it was that they've kind of skipped out on a little bit. But yeah, that sequence, I agree, was like very out of the blue, like very random. It felt random, at least.
I want to actually build upon that point around how that particular theme was kind of unexplored. I at various points in time during the movie, I felt like the movie was a collection of different times in their lives.
Yeah.
But there was not enough exploration of each theme. So they've obviously thought about the different things that they want to highlight using the movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they actually thought through how each of those things could be brought out in full. And probably that's because it's a movie and they need to keep it to a certain time limit.
Need to create a Netflix series.
Yeah, maybe. But I definitely felt Like they could have done much more with certain themes.
Yeah.
For example, another example of that is how the relationship between Karan and Aisha, when you know Karan said that he doesn't see her as a as someone who he wants to date. I think that was also left unexplored completely, as in, you know, that's the end of the relationship. And what is more, if you actually observed the Christmas party, Karan was part of the celebrations, which happened after.
Yeah.
So he didn't really explore it, especially for someone who, for a girl or for anyone for that matter, who knows that they're going to die, but they romantically like someone and that person doesn't like them back. I think there's a lot more that they could have done.
I can see your point. Yeah, fair.
Sorry, guys. I'm just going through all the points.
Yeah, yeah. No. You're driving this podcast very much.
What do you guys think about how pain has been depicted throughout the movie? As in, I just...
A really deep question. How pain has been depicted?
As in, I thought that even though the movie... you spoke about this a little bit. Obviously, the movie intends to keep a happy tone throughout this entire episode. I also felt that the things about pain were kind of left behind because it was all about the family. It was all about...
When you say pain, like,
you
do you mean...
sadness and grief also.
Or do you mean the actual, like,
the
physical...
actual pain, the actual physical pain.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how, as in, it was very... Again, it was a touch and go approach where they show you certain parts where she's in the hospital or, you know, where...
No, but I think towards the second half, I felt like they did that. Because they show her, like, going through these, like, violent coughing fits. They show the fact that she has to have the, like, the inhaler or the oxygen, like, support throughout.
Yeah. Also, that's not going to do anything but make it, like, more depressing and sad. So
yeah.
Like, everyone knows the condition. That's the condition. Everyone knows that it was terminal. By doing that, you would just, like... make it more difficult.
And you're right, and I thought about that. The reason why I brought it up is because I didn't think, I thought that the movie could have done a little more in terms of educating people about that particular disease, which is pulmonary fibrosis.
Mm-hmm.
They could also have used this platform. Obviously, they show it, show what happens, you know, during the movie.
Yeah.
But maybe a little bit of, you know, in the credits or somewhere in between, if they could spend some time also talking about the disease a little bit, how it happens, things like that, they could have also used that.
But I feel like they did, right? They explained that, like, it's due to the effects of, like, the chemo that she went through after the bone marrow transplant, right? which was like when she was a baby. And I think, like, they go through that. They explain that it affects your lungs. I don't know what else they could have said or would have said, which would have dramatically changed the impact.
Mm.
And I think, I mean, I think it's also like when it's a physical ailment, right? It's, I don't think there's that much you can do. Like, I don't think the point of the movie is also not about how do you deal with being physically unwell and have like a normal life, right? Unlike a movie which is about, I don't know. I can't think of a good example at the moment. But like a movie which is about like, say like a mental health issue or some kind of like more drastic physical ailment where you have like a stroke where you're like unable to speak properly, stuff like that, right? Whereas here it's more, I think, about the mindset, right? Like how do you know that you have this condition which is not in your control, nothing you can do about it?
Mm.
How do you still continue to like live a fulfilling life even though it's short, right? I think that was which is why I think if they added too much of like the disease and stuff, it would have again just gone in the direction of making it very heavy, making it a little preachy. Whereas I felt like this was just this is our story, hopefully it inspires you, right?
Think it becomes important to educate people about a disease when it affects how others engage with the person suffering. Whereas this is more about the person suffering and how she deals with knowing that she's, you know, has a end date in the near future, basically.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
Okay, Sagar, we have time for one more.
One last topic.
More thing from your notes.
You put them away? What happened?
He's memorized them in his head. The notes are just for us to show us that he's taken them.
Why don't we just keep it to a question? Like, what is the biggest takeaway for you from this movie?
Oh, that's a tough one. Tarani, you can go first.
The sky is pink.
That's a real cop out, huh?
No, and like the more figurative meaning to it, not the literal meaning to it.
Okay.
And like, you know,
that's also an easy answer. I want a little more effort.
No, but it's about that. It's like, you know, if you know that you are going to die in 8 months, 10 months, do you like sit in bed and wait for that day to come? Or do you like, I mean, a lot of it also was thanks to her parents and like the privileges that they had from all of that. Like they could create all these experiences for her and make sure that she sort of had these moments, you know,
to, like, to cherish.
Exactly. And for all of them to cherish that, you know, we were able to do X, Y, Z as a family while we still had the time to do it.
Especially when they had the option of aborting her.
But I was also referring to like the second time around when she had the pulmonary fibrosis, not when she had the SCID. But even within that, when they knew that, okay, they've done so much to try and keep her alive, and despite that, there's something now that's come up now. Then from that day onwards, it became about, okay, how can we make whatever time is left the best possible time?
Yeah.
And again, I think it was a very, for any family, the lung transplant would have been a huge, huge decision, you know. Mm-hmm. And what she said about, like, what do you think, why do you think it would be easier to die at 28 than at 18?
Yeah.
And that becomes a very contentious thing from, like, as the patient, you're going to be gone, right? It's so for everyone else around you, it's like, if we can get 10 more years, why would we not? But then as a patient, you may be taking a huge gamble on the quality of those 10 more years. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I obviously agree in terms of the one big takeaway is that, you know, make the most of the time you have, even if you're in like a tough situation, instead of sitting and feel sorry for yourself, you can actually do something to make the most of it, right? I think the other thing that really stuck with me, more so like at the end is, well, like two things. One is just and they're kind of linked, but it's overcoming the odds a bit. Like there were so many times where the odds are just not in their favor at all.
Yeah.
And it's just somehow or the other she was able to survive. And I think linked to that, a big thing that stuck with me is kind of spirit of humanity and kindness of people, which I think we don't emphasize enough, especially in like today's world where there's all kinds of atrocious things happening globally. But the fact that what really I found nice is that, you know, when she was first born and diagnosed with this and they had to go to London for treatment and like he could barely afford a flight, but his colleagues and co-workers actually put together, you know, like a donation drive and they were able to collect money to send him to the thing, right? And then again, once they get to London, they find out the cost of treatment and like with all their savings, they're only like halfway there. And so he goes on this radio show and he puts out an appeal. And the radio host is like, listen, don't keep your hopes too high. If you get 10 or 20,000 or whatever, you should be happy. And they get £250,000, which is twice the amount of thing, right? Which that is a big factor in both these two acts of collective kindness by people are a big factor in why she was able to actually even get the treatment. So those things stuck with me that even when things seem really dire, you shouldn't lose hope. And also, I think something around the fundamental goodness of people still exists. Like there are still good people. There are still kind acts of humanity, which.
Yeah. And to the first point, that this was also in the context of them having taken a huge decision before that on whether to abort her or not, knowing that this may very well become a problem. It's not like this kind of sprung on them after she was born. It was literally a decision they took. Knowing the repercussions, and then it had manifested exactly as they had hoped it wouldn't.
Mm.
But they still fought through it.
And I think that was actually my biggest takeaway, was going back to your point about how they made the conscious decision of not aborting her. I think life is, this sounds too deep for 3 p.m. or 3:30 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon, but life is so much about the meaning that you want to forge. You know, you could live life as if nothing has happened and, you know, you go through life moment by moment. or you could actually choose to make some meaning out of the life that you want to have. And I think obviously Priyanka Chopra chose the latter. And she created a meaning out of the choices that she made.
Yeah. And I think I also liked, on that specific aspect, I liked Farhan's character progression, where initially he, after both Aisha's death and Tanya, which was their older daughter, who passed away just after a few months, he was completely unwilling to even acknowledge that this happened or like deal with this feeling. And then at the end, he has the pictures of all three of them, right? I thought that was also a very nice touch, a nice moment to be like, hardships are a part of life, but we shouldn't just push them away, right? We should embrace them, learn from them, do whatever we can. So,
and the second takeaway for me was also around what Tarani mentioned earlier. You know, when she mentions, will it be easier to die at 28, or it's going to be the same thing. I was reading this, and I recommend, after watching this movie, I think I recommend this book to anyone and everyone who's watched it. It's called When Breath Becomes Air by Paul Kalanith. And he used to be like an Indian American doctor who found out that he had a terminal illness, and a very successful doctor, Stanford educated and very well known doctor, a surgeon in the US. And then when he himself finds out that he's got a terminal illness, and how he goes through that experience, it's very similar in terms of the theme, because he also dies, and he releases a book before he dies about the experience between practicing a vocation, which is medicine, and actually being on the other end, which is the patient. It's different, right? As in, when you are the patient, and if you're a doctor, sometimes you, as a doctor, you treat the patients as if they come.
It becomes
a profession. It becomes a vocation. You don't treat your patients as if they are individuals.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only once you become a patient do you realize that they are individuals in themselves. I think those were the two biggest takeaways for me.
So conclusion is definitely what Sky is Pink. Anything else? Final closing words before we move on to trailers.
Do something lighthearted after.
Well, I've just had
lots of tissues.
Good amount of biryani, so I'm ready to sleep.
Okay, so now let's quickly move on to trailers. We have, I will say, 7 minutes. So, Houseful 4. Let's start with that. The direct opposite of Sky.
I haven't done any homework on the trailers.
Oh, you haven't seen them?
No, I haven't, unfortunately.
I started watching them and I realized I didn't have earphones. So I can't get very far.
Okay,
so
maybe, I will talk about
it. Yeah, you can talk.
Sagar, why don't you audition for your role as future Bollywood Weekly host?
Okay, cool. I'll do that. So Houseful 4 is what we are... Is that what we are talking about?
I can talk about Houseful
4. Okay, good.
When I first saw the trailer, I was just shocked, but then also not shocked, because it's Houseful. I'm just like, okay, I expect this crap.
It's brainless,
but
yeah.
Even by like Houseful standard, it seemed unbelievably crap.
And because
it's like I'll get to this.
He will.
In a second.
I'm telling you, he will.
I might. But and it's unbelievable to say this for a movie like Houseful. But I actually also didn't fully get what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Until I watched the trailer like two or three times and watched more stuff, basically. There's two parts of the movie. Like, there's two separate timelines. One is in, like, 1419 and one is... 1419 and 2019. So, it's like a reincarnation thing. When viewed on that lens, the 1419 timeline is basically an extended spoof on Sanjay Leela Bhansali movies. Like, Bajirao Mastani and... What's his name? Akshay Kumar's character is... exactly looks like Ranveer Singh's this thing from Padmavat. Sorry, not Padmavat, from Bajirao Mastani.
Yeah.
With the bald head and the mustache and everything.
And
then when you look at it from that point of view, it's actually quite funny. I think it has, or rather, it has the potential to be funny.
See, I told you he's going to watch it.
I think, as always with these films, there is a hugely problematic element of just their portrayal of trans and homosexual characters.
Okay.
Like Ritesh Deshmukh plays, I don't even understand, a eunuch, but who's not actually a eunuch. He's pretending, like, I don't know, it's like weird. Johnny Lever is also cross-dressing, doing some, and it's just like very typical, like cheap humor, which in 2019 just feels very like jarring and odd to watch. But it's Houseful, so they don't care. But I mean, it will do really well, so it doesn't really matter what we think. So literally, and I was like, when I watched it, I was like, okay, at some point people have to lose patience. And then like you read all the comments on YouTube and it's like, so funny, amazing, Aki sir, best. But I mean, I feel like if they do it well, it has the potential to be funny.
Yeah.
But they won't do it well. So that's, I will still end up watching it.
What other trailers have you watched?
Then the most interesting thing, which is, and which is why I was hoping you all would see it without any context. But there's two films coming out called Ujra Chaman and Bala.
Okay.
And literally, if you watch the two trailers, you can't tell which trailer is for which film. They're both about the exact same thing. It's about basically a guy who's going through premature baldness. And he's like 30.
Both the movies are about that.
Both the movies are about the exact
same. But such a niche topic.
Yeah. It's just that one. So it's actually a remake of a... Okay, so Ujla Chaman, which is the smaller budget one, which doesn't have any mainstream stars in it.
Yeah.
It has Sunny Singh and Manvi Gagru.
Who, I don't even know who
they
those are.
Like, they act in like a lot of TVF shows and stuff. Okay. So they're well known in like the web circle. But it's a small budget film, right?
Right.
But it's the remake of a Telugu film, which was very successful. It's like a comedy basically, but it's like a, you know, very typical slice of life. The very typical Ayushman film, basically.
Okay.
So the other one, which is Bala, is with Ayushman, and he's playing the bald guy. But literally, like, the two films are the same. Both of the films, people make fun of him because he's bald. His parents are white because they want to get him married, and no one wants to marry a bald. Then he finds a girl. He's trying to figure out, should I go through like hair transplant? Like, literally, is the same. The same progression of things that happen. The jokes are slightly different. And
that is so strange, especially about such a niche topic.
Yeah, it's very strange. And basically now the...
Hey, balding is a widespread problem.
No, it's such a niche topic for a movie.
Yeah, for two movies to be...
It's so, like, we have the same... And getting released around the same time.
So now it's a big controversy the Ayushman film was supposed to release second half of November.
Yeah.
And the other film is supposed to release... Ujra Chaman is supposed to release November 7th. And now Bala, they moved their release date to November 7th. So now they're both releasing on the same weekend in the same topic. And obviously you expect with Ayushman star quality that film will do better.
Will do better, yeah.
And so now the makers of the original one are really angry because they actually bought the remake rights of the Telugu film and like made it,
yeah.
Whereas I don't think these guys have done it. And their point of view is just that it's not really the same film, but it's the same film.
Yeah.
So that was just weird and random and funny. But I think actually both trailers look good.
Okay.
Like they both seem quite funny, quite enjoyable. Breezy time pass watch, right?
Yeah,
like most Ayushman films are these days.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that they're both the same is like a bit weird.
Oh, dear.
So, I don't know.
Cool. Thank you for watching all the trailers on behalf of us. But
it's okay.
In our defense,
I did only give you
the notification came a little too late.
Yeah, there was a delay between me thinking it and me typing it, which was about 4 hours later. So, yes, thank you, Sagar, for stepping in as host.
Of course.
I'm happy.
Privileged to take on this role.
I'm happy to. Give you like I don't know franchise rights if you ever want to record a podcast if you're sitting at home.
Franchise rights, I should be fucking paid.
You'll
have to cut off the swearing a little bit.
Clearly he's not ready yet for the big time.
Damn that. Wait to punch it out.
And also I mean if you were to get paid, that would imply that I was getting paid, which is not happening. So anyway, thank you.
But sometimes you need to invest in good talent before you can reap the benefits.
Okay, we'll have a separate podcast on us negotiating for your pay scale. But anyway, thank you, Tarini and Sagar.
Thanks, Pish.
I enjoyed it.